Good morning and welcome to Monday in Manhattan. This is our weekly broadcast from City Administration to keep you in the loop. You can find out more about local government at the city's website, cityofmhk.com.
Good morning. It's Monday in Manhattan. I'm Jared Wassinger here with Jason Hildreth. Had a long Friday city commission retreat with our city commissioners. We got together at the Flint Hills Discovery Center with our five elected representatives of the community and really hashed out their goals for the next 2 years. Jason, we have two-year election cycles. So this group of five, Mayor Reddy, Mayor Pro Tem, Wynn Butler, Mark Hattasall, Linda Morris, and Aaron Esterbrook are going to be our five city commissioners for the next 2 years. And they're going to be pretty much guiding the legislative agendas and topics and things that we push forward to approve over the next 2 years. So we wanted to get a feel and a sense for where they were headed. It was a long day for sure, Jason. We had a lot of talking, a lot of chatting.
It was. We spent some time in the morning kind of reviewing where we had been over the last year or two. A lot of active projects, a lot of active initiatives, some outcomes from ballot questions. We were trying to get them up to speed, but also hear their input and feedback over some of the things we've been able to accomplish and some things that are still out there on the radar for us to tackle here in the coming months.
Yeah, we're working on finalizing what we've been calling a strategic priorities document to kind of guide the city commission, city staff, and really the public over the next 2 years to know the priorities of the organization and the community and things that we want to accomplish. So we took a lot of time focusing on that. We're going to be taking a look at all the notes that we took and really finalizing that so the city commission can kind of adopt that and we can publish that to our organization and the community and really start tracking a lot of the progress that we want to achieve. We broke it down, Jason, into five areas, strategic priorities. We talked last week about our organization excellence initiative to really address kind of the internal workings of the organization, staffing, efficiencies. So that was one of them. And then we really kind of dove into our mission as an organization. We talked about the built environment that the city of Manhattan is in charge of overseeing with streets, multimodal transportation, planning, zoning, development, things like that. Safe and healthy living was another of the five strategic priority areas, water, wastewater, sewer, fire, risk reduction. These are all those essential services that we're going to continue to provide the public. And then a couple others, quality of life is a big one. The chamber, Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce has been talking about it with the region reimagined. And then the last strategic priority of the five was economic vitality. We're looking at the somewhat stagnant growth of Manhattan and looking to increase jobs, increase activities, increase people into the community.
So we had a lot of good discussion. That was a great document, Jared. You were a real key author in putting that together and delivering that to the commissioners. And obviously we'll make that available to our organization as well as the public. A lot of our conversation along with the strategic initiatives center back in about our budget.
How do you implement it?
How do we take what we're doing today, evaluate it, and then look at the priorities moving forward? That's a struggle. It's a struggle for anyone to get their minds around from a general fund perspective, us spending $32, $33 million, our total budget of $156 million, and just how that is broke down from an operating standpoint and from a debt finance standpoint. And we try to bring commissioners along as quickly as we possibly can. We'll have a budget process that'll start here this spring and roll through the summer. And by August, we have to adopt a budget for 2021. So a lot of those strategies, a lot of those initiatives, a lot of those different priorities became part of the discussion as we move forward with the governing body.
The challenge, Jason, is a lot of those strategies, priorities, projects, programs are things that we're not doing now. So you talk about our 2020 budget right now. It's hovering around $155, $156 million. That's to cover the services and the projects and the initiatives that we have been doing for quite some time, some that we started 20 years ago, some that we just started, and then new projects that we've approved. The struggle and the, I guess the challenge with moving forward with a new strategic plan or a new strategic priorities initiative over the next 2 years is balancing the stuff we do now and the stuff we want to do in the future. And then the needs, and I guess the wishes of the commission to keep taxes similar, the same, or even reduce it.
And that's
that
where
we've heard from some of our commissioners.
And that's where you get into a lot of the conversation about just what the mill levy supports, the difference in terms of sales tax revenues, property tax revenues, franchise fees, utilities fees, just how they all intermingle within the budget, what they fund. We're pretty much in a position, a city administration, where we have about 11 and a half mills that cover our operations and our debt. And a mill is worth $585,000. So
according to our budget,
take $585,000 times 11.5, you're going to hit right around $6.75 million in property taxes that the city administration and the governing body have to wrestle with on an annual basis. Now, there's 156 total mills in your property tax statement. But when we look at operations and debt, 11.5 of the 156 mills, or what city administration and the commission really get to use along with all these other revenue sources to operate.
Yep.
So they factor into that $32 million general fund, which is really where all our people and our operations are housed. And then you got the debt side of things. Annually, we're making payments close to $26 million. Out of the general fund, mill levy supported, which means your property taxes, we're roughly 4.5 mills or 4.5 times 585K. So a very small portion of our debt and a small portion of our operation really comes from property taxes. But that's where the conversation really centers.
Yep. So I'm gonna break this down one more time to simplify it, because it's pretty complicated. Person owns a house, $200,000 house. They get their property tax bill sometimes once a year. You can get it twice a year, I believe. It says you owe 156 mills in property taxes. I'm gonna just throw out an estimate: 156 mills towards a $200,000 home be around maybe $3,000 in property taxes. That's going to three separate governmental entities, actually four. A small 1 mil portion of it goes to the state of Kansas.
One and a half.
About a third or a little bit more goes to the USD 383 school district.
They're about 60 mils, right?
60 mils. Another portion of that, about a third, I think around 50 mils maybe.
About 43 to the county.
43 goes to Riley County. Mm-hmm. They oversee the entire county. Then a third of that,
About 49 mils.
About 49 mils goes to, so about $1,000, maybe a little bit less, goes to the city of Manhattan of that $3,000 that you're paying. Break that down a little bit further within that, third, we're saying, that goes to the city. About two-thirds of that goes to Riley County Police Department and the library.
About 60.
Yep, so the city 65%. Really doesn't touch any of that. So then we're breaking down that, that small set of property taxes that the city actually can control and can utilize to fund operations, which is people, projects, debt, a lot of those things.
Yeah, of the $3,000 you paid in taxes, roughly $300 comes to the city for us to divvy out between debt, operations, and our employees. So that I just always try, and I appreciate you going there, because there's always a misunderstanding mm-hmm. about where your taxes go. Now we move into the side of the equation of just how many other revenues we have. We have a lot of sales tax that come in to the community. We're a regional shopping center. We have a pull factor of 1.3. 25% of our revenue comes from people that don't live here.
Via sales tax.
And it's a real big reason why we went out for the 0.3 that failed last November, trying to give our taxpayers and our citizens the opportunity to say, these future initiatives are important enough for us. Let's raise the sales tax in order for not only our locals, but people from out of town who can assist us with that debt. we're moving forward. We obviously didn't get that passed. Now we're developing strategies for the commission moving forward on all six of those projects. But it does come back into this mill levy, sales tax, and possibly even economic development discussion.
A lot of our, I think we're going to jump into the economic development sales tax here in a sec. You mentioned again, and I want to kind of bring it home because that was something that we talked to the city commissioners about last week at their work session, talking about the six projects. And really, the biggest part of the debate over the 4 months of the budget process for our city commissioners is really talking, like you said, about 11 mills out of that 156 that a citizen or resident in Manhattan is paying in property taxes. And it is a big number, don't get me wrong, and it hits home for all of our residents and businesses that have to pay for that cost. But that's the number that we're working with, and I think what you talked to the city commissioners about was how we have a multi-year budget strategy to take that small percentage of property taxes, which is really the only revenue source the city commission can control outside of utility fees, that can be increased, because sales tax or sales tax are going to be, they've been pretty flat lately, and we don't have that.
But have to go to the vote.
You have to go to the voter to approve that. So we're looking at ways of how can we work with that money and keep it consistent, nothing too drastically increasing or anything like that. But how do we look at that number and then fund the priorities that the city commission and the organization have?
And we got great presentations from our department heads a few weeks ago. The commission got a rundown of where their accomplishments were in 19, what their challenges are for 20. We'll get into 2021 challenges through the budget process and try to, reach a consensus on new initiatives. Some of the discussion we're probably going to have with the governing body is looking at what we do. Are there things that they don't want to continue to do in order to free up capacity to do some other priorities that they may feel like need that attention and need that revenue?
That's a tough conversation to have too, because it deals with services and deals with people who carry out those services.
And when you look at the $32 million, like we mentioned earlier, that is our general fund, $20 million of that is going to be people. And incrementally just growing that $20 million by 2 or 3%, you're talking about anywhere from $400,000 to $400,000 to $600,000 just in increases to give our employees that cost of living adjustment or their step or merit increase. Those all have to be factored into that budget as we look out the next year. But those are impactful numbers, $400,000 to $600,000 when sales tax are flat, and you're looking to really property tax is your only source if you're going to continue to do everything and add the additional $400,000 to $600,000. That's a mill just by itself. That $585,000 is really 1/1,000th of the total valuation of the map behind us in color. It's the city's total valuation of $585 million is reduced down to $585,000 because it's 1/1,000th of the value. And in Kansas, they have a very elaborate way to get to your property taxes where you take your home appraised value of $200,000 times 11.5%. Then you take it times 0.156, which is 156 mills as a 1/1,000th of a value.
We need a whiteboard or something.
You
like
do.
That to
it's
track
complicated.
I shared a link in the comments to the property tax calculator for the residential side. There's also a commercial tax calculator too.
Great.
There. So that's in the comments.
And they're out there. They're great tools. It's complicated. I understand the confusion that occurs. A lot of folks that I talk to in the community just assume all their taxes get paid to the county. Some assume a lot of their or all their taxes go to the city. So there is a breakdown that we try to do. But I think it's interesting too when you look at the map behind us and you understand that the whole community is worth $585 million. For a population of 56,000 people, you go into another community in Kansas with 56,000 people, sometimes you'll see the value almost double. And a lot of it has to do with the big purple odd shape behind me that is off the tax rolls. There's a lot of value there, obviously, but it's off the tax rolls. And we have a number of properties in Manhattan off the tax rolls that occupy space that traditionally you would see a lot of residential and commercial property. University, obviously a huge economic driver. Any community in the state would love to have that big purple shape in the middle of their community, but it does reflect back then on our taxes and how ours are a little bit hard to compare when you look at places like Lenexa or Saline or Hutchinson or other metro area communities in Kansas City, Lawrence and Topeka. Topeka obviously has similar challenges, but and Lawrence as well. But it's something to just have in mind and understand when you're looking at your own property taxes.
So the challenge, you know, going forward, talking with our city commissioners about carrying out that those strategic priorities that they and the organization have, there's, in my mind, I guess there's kind of three options moving forward that we'll kind of need to present to the city commission. And that's, you know, here's all these priorities that we have that we, you know, you and the organization and the community may want us to do more, which costs more. There's the one option of you just raise property taxes, right, to fund all those, which is difficult. And it affects all of our residents. There's the other option of, well, how can we do all those improvements and then cut services, money within the budget to accommodate it without raising property taxes? And then there's kind of this area in the middle where you just kind of keep maybe doing the status quo and you do some of it, but not all of it. So those are it. We're going to have that, you know, juggling act and have all those conversations with the city commission, which will really start in May and June, this summer and July, as we formalize our proposed 2021 budget.
Do you have any specifics you can share? Like coming out of the retreat, are there priorities you want to talk about? If there were cuts to be made, are there things that are kind of first on the chopping block? Any that kind of stuff, or is that for discussion later?
So a lot of the feedback we get from our elected officials have to do with a much broader perspective of the community. There are concerns over the property taxes that people are spending. There are concerns over housing. There are concerns over economic development, renewal, and where it's headed. Had a lot of discussion on that as it pertains to the county's question that currently has existed now for almost 20 years, a potential city tax that then possibly we share a portion of that with Riley County because it'll generate more revenue. Those discussions are going to come forth in the next few months. The city commission, the county commission, county administration, the chamber of commerce, city administration are all going to need to come together and have those discussions and see what strategy moving forward makes the most sense for everybody. That's a difficult task in itself to get the county and the chamber and the city all to agree on an approach. But I do think with our middle schools, we got the school district, the board of education, we got administration, got city commission and city administration all at least on the same page with a middle school approach that was successful. And we've been successful in the last two elections with the county leading the way with a county tax that was then shared with the city. I think we recognize an opportunity to generate nearly $6.5 million with a city tax on an annual basis in totality versus a $5 million Riley County tax that the city gets three and the county gets two. Well, there's $1.5 million difference there. And if we could create a tax at city only, half cent, and we carved off $2 million for the county, which would make them whole under either scenario, the city could realize $4.5 million on an annual basis versus three. Over a 10-year period, that's $45 million versus 30. And now that can start to play into some of our six major project initiatives: Aggieville, North Campus, runway at the airport come to mind on the updates that we just gave the commission. So, you know, getting everybody to feel in agreement to where we can approach that and at least then ask the voter, do you support this? The current tax runs through the end of 2022. So the question really would be about implementing a tax 2023. So there's a lot of education, a lot of nuances with doing it that way. So we'll have to gauge the county's support, gauge the chamber's support, but a lot of conversation this past Friday with the city commission, how to structure that. Not all commissioners are just ready to go 100% on that strategy. There still might be a few that want to discuss the county leading as they have the last two decades. So we'll have more discussion to come, but that's that's really the opportunity around economic development. There's multiple strategies that could be followed. We'll have to see what the consensus is and get a question drafted for this November election.
That economic development sales tax will really be an important conversation, and it is one of those gaps that could fill, you know, that void in funding for mainly a lot of those projects that we've been talking about with Aggieville, North Campus Corridor. Kind of to your question about what came of the retreat, maybe, you know, you mentioned it's something on the chopping block, or what are the major priorities coming up? We didn't get into detail necessarily about cuts to any city services during the city commission retreat. That's a conversation moving forward. We'll need to, if we really want to see some of these priorities through, we're going to need to have those conversations with departments who are, and this is departments who rely on the property tax revenue source. So having those conversations, but there are, you know, off the top of my head there, we talked about a lot of priorities that are in the forefront of our minds that we're going to be ironing out some numbers for. We talked about our organization excellence initiative and the pay gap to increasing pay for a lot of positions and employees within our organization to make them more competitive in the marketplace. That comes at an increase. So you have to either increase revenue or make cuts elsewhere. We've been talking a lot lately about our, you know, it's not really that sexy of a topic when you look at the city government, but our financial operating system is very old. We're still on kind of a green screen form, and it makes it difficult for the organization to do a lot of the things that more progressive cities are doing when it comes to online bill paying and really moving your you know, business friendly operations to a more online platform that's easier for the citizen. That's an expensive upgrade that we, you know, have kind of, you know, projects have been a little bit more important, and a lot of the things that you're seeing around the community. And we're going to need to have that debate and get a number about what it would cost to update our financial operating system. The bike ped systems master plan that the city commission recently reviewed the draft of, and they're going to be approving potentially here at the next meeting. We don't have a dedicated, we do have a dedicated funding source in certain areas for bicycle and pedestrian projects, but not to the extent that we want to, you know, really see a lot of those capital improvements happen. So those are debates that we're going to need to have and figure out balances to fund those for sure.
When you hear from residents about what their priorities are, kind of back to the community surveys and other, what priorities get reported to you?
We talked a lot about those six projects, a few of those six projects when it came to flood mitigation, Aggieville, North Campus Corridor, that received a lot of public support. When you look at certain departments, the biggest ones, to name a few, Public Works and Parks and Recreation, streets is still a big one, maintaining our streets and thoroughfares and making sure it's easy to get around town. And that could be multiple ways. You know, one of the major priorities from our 2019 community surveys that really crept up that I was surprised about was a bicycle-friendly community. It was actually more of a priority of our respondents than snow removal. So, you know, you take that balance about what do we want to see? Obviously, we're not going to just stop removing snow, but you need to start looking at some of those areas if you really want to start making headway on some others. Parks and Recreation, the top priorities was quality of parks and trails and recreation programs. We do a lot of other things in our Parks and Recreation department that are outside of that general parks, trails, recreation facilities scope that we've been doing for quite some time that can be evaluated. So there's quite a few.
We have a lot of great people providing a lot of services throughout the community. Yeah. And some of these conversations are going to be difficult because they'll impact what they do and how they do it within the community and the organization. There's obviously approaches that involve more of an evaluation of what we do and how we do it. There's obviously some needs that we have to embrace. Our financial operating system, as Jared mentioned, our human resources and our legal staff haven't grown a whole lot in the last 5 to 10 years. The phenomenon that we wrestle with in Manhattan for a long time, sales tax, we're keeping up at a pace that could help offset any type of discussion on property taxes. We've been flat in sales tax for 4 years now. And our mill levy has also been fairly flat when it comes to what's approved. We've put some things off. We've had to do without in certain areas. And it's just reaching a point internally where that discussion is going to become hopefully more strategic as we move forward with the city commission in discussing future budgets. Won't be easy decisions. There's going to be some emotional reactions. But I do think by the time we're complete with the process, a 2021, a 2022 budget process, we'll have a better sense of the direction the community's headed.
Well, and this kind of helps make the case for shopping local and investing in your community, because it shows up in stormwater improvements and street improvements and other areas like that as well.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to wrap up next week. Jason, I think we have a work session talking about some 12th Street designs in Aggieville. 12th Street between Bluemont and Morrow Street, kind of between Tanner's and Lucha and Solong's. Got some cool design concepts that folks can digest. And I think at that work session, we're really going to get feedback from the city commission to move towards a more firm final concept so that our consultants can really refine that. And then we can start moving on construction possibly this summer.
Yeah.
Because they're building that hotel and I know they need a water line to it that they need replaced. So we're going to be tearing up that street here pretty soon. So we need to finalize that. And then just a plug for tonight or tomorrow's city commission meeting. We only have one item on the general agenda. It's a discussion item, but it's to go out for an RFP, request for proposals to hire a consultant to do a housing market analysis study. That was something that was approved by our city commission during the 2020 budget process. So we're going to get some feedback on really the scope of what that project could entail, getting an understanding of the market. We hear a lot about affordable housing, suitable housing, creating a quality of place for multiple different types of people to live in this community. So that'll be a good opportunity if you're interested to tune in or come in and provide feedback. Have a great week.
Thank you.